No, we do have a few Olivet alumni. Raise your hand if you've been a part of Olivet at some point in your life. I know we've got a few alumni in there. For those in the generation ahead of me, let me tell you, Olivet changed a lot by the time Lori and I arrived in the late 90s or very, very early 2000s. And what I can tell you is somebody who's been back to Olivet for a variety of things over the years, Olivet has expanded significantly just since the time that I was there. And I know for Lori and I, one of the things we love to support, and for her family especially, is supporting the ministry work of the Church of the Nazarene. And Lori's grandpa was a graduate of there in, I don't know, 18 what? When was it? No, it was a while ago. 1956, her grandpa graduated from Olivet as a ministry major and as a pastor, district superintendent, and all of that. So Lori and I like to support what Olivet does there as it continues the work of preparing students for ministry. And one of the things that they have now that they didn't have when I was there is the Preaching Ambassador Program, which provides pastoral students the opportunity to go and visit different churches and preach and work on as they're learning and developing as students into ministers. This is a big part of what they get to do. I could have used a little bit more of that while I was in college, getting some more preaching experience. But it's a pleasure and joy for us today to have Reagan with us as a part of Olivet's Preaching Ambassador Program.
Okay. Hi, guys. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So for those who may not know me, hi, my name is Reagan. I am from Bloomington, Illinois, which is about an hour and a half away from ONU. And I am actually I actually attend Olivet Nazarene University. And so today, I'd love to just start with just telling you guys a few fun facts about me so that you guys can get to know me a little better. So my first fun fact is that I am actually a cheerleader. I've been cheerleading for about 10 years now, and I am actually a cheerleader on the ONU cheer program. So I'm one of their flyers, which means I'm the one that gets thrown in the air all the time. Just a little bit of side bit of information for you guys. I actually have a fear of heights. Yeah, so it's made for some very interesting moments and stories, as you can tell. And I'd love to share them with you guys after service, if you guys would like to hear. So my next fun fact is that I am also part of the Preaching and Music Ambassador Program. So what that means is that I get to go out to churches around the area and to preach there. I'm so very grateful for that program because giving me this wonderful opportunity to be here with you guys today and to get to know you guys. My last fun fact is that I'm currently a junior at Olivet and I am a youth ministry major. So I'll be working with the junior high and high school students. So now that you guys got to know me a little better, I'd love to ask you guys a question now. My question is, have you ever regretted not saying something when you wish you would have? I'll ask that again. Have you ever regretted not saying something when you wish you would have? I know I have. There have been many moments in my life where I wish I would have said something, but I didn't. One of those moments was when I was in high school. I was walking to class, and I overheard these group of girls saying some not-so-nice things about Christianity, and particularly about this one Christian girl that I knew, and I called friend. You see, I heard them saying some not-so-nice things, and yet I didn't do anything. Instead, I got scared, and I walked away. I went to class. You see, I let my fears dictate what my action was going to be. It's safe to say that in that moment, I did not boldly declare who Christ is. And that's the big idea of today. We are to boldly declare who Christ is. So if you guys have your Bibles, I'll have you guys please turn to Luke 9:18. If you guys, before we read, I'd love for us to stand if you're able so that we can receive the word of the Lord together. We do this to stand in anticipation of what Christ is going to do for us. Again, the passage I'll be reading is Luke 9:18, and I'll be reading from the NIV version. And the word said, "Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowd say that I am?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say that I am?' Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the religious law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. And what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." And that's the word of the Lord. You guys can sit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today humbled. Lord, we confess that you are our Messiah, our Savior. Lord, take me out of the equation. Let me say only what you want us to hear. And Lord God, I just pray for all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So, before we start talking about the passage, I like to kind of talk about what happened prior to the passage. So Jesus had previously done many miracles, and these miracles made people question and wonder, who is this person? Jesus, in the middle of chapter 8 of Luke, calmed a raging storm. The disciples were with him in this situation too, and they asked, "Who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him." In the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. He then goes on to do many other miracles, and all these miracles made people question, who is this man, Jesus? And all of this eventually comes to a boiling point, and that is where our passage starts. The passage starts with Jesus asking his disciples a question. He asks them, "Who do others believe that he is?" So the interesting thing about this is that Jesus probably already knew who others thought he was. I mean, we usually know what others think of us, right? The disciples did not know this, though. So they answered his main point. They answered his question and said, "Some say that you are the prophet Elijah, John the Baptist, or even another ancient prophet risen from the dead." You see, many people did not truly know who Jesus is. They kind of just guessed, though. Surprisingly, they were not that far off, though. You see, Jesus was sort of a prophet of some sorts. But yet, he was so much more than that, though. So after the disciples answered him, Jesus then asked him the next question. "Okay, now who do you say that I am?" There was only one disciple that answered, though. That disciple was Peter. Peter answered boldly that Jesus is the Messiah, or Christ, which is the Greek word for Messiah. Jesus then tells the disciples not to tell anyone who he is. Now you may be wondering, why does Jesus not want others to know who he is? You see, he actually answered this by saying that the Son of Man is supposed to be rejected and despised, so that they could not truly know who Jesus actually is. Jesus does this very interesting thing. He completely flips what the disciples and many other people in this time period believed of this prophesied Messiah. You see, many people believed that this Messiah that was prophesied was going to be this person that was going to come in and save Israel from Rome. They were going to be this knight in shining armor. But that's not what Jesus says, though. Actually, he says that the Son of Man is going to be rejected and despised by the leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the religious law, and that he will actually eventually be killed. After Jesus' prediction, he then talks about the cost of following him. He says that the cost is that we have to take up our cross daily, and that means that we have to give God all of our sins, all of our burdens, and all of our struggles. Jesus then calls us to deny ourselves, which that means that we have to humble ourselves enough to allow God to work in us and through us. So now that we went through the passage and talked about it, I would love to talk about some of the key takeaways I got from the passage. So one big takeaway I got from this passage is this idea that many people to this day still do not know who Jesus truly is. Now, some do know who Jesus is. They say that he is just they know him. They think that he's just a great teacher and that we could learn a lot from him. But they don't believe that he actually is a Messiah and that he raised from the dead. You see, I just love what Jesus C.S. Lewis says in response to this. Lewis is the author of the famous Chronicles of Narnia, and Lewis says that Jesus can either be a liar, lord, or a lunatic. And what Lewis means is that Jesus cannot be just a good guy, because if he was a good guy, but yet he wasn't who he says he is, then that makes him a liar. Jesus cannot be just a good guy, because if he truly believes who he says he is, but actually isn't, then that makes him a lunatic. Jesus cannot be just a good guy, because if he is, and I mean truly is who he says he is, then that makes him Lord. Another thing that stood out to me while I was reading this passage are two titles. The title, The Son of Man, and the title, The Suffering Servant. So I'd like to point out that Jesus never actually says the title, The Suffering Servant, but he does heavily references it. So let's first talk about this title, The Son of Man. So what this title is a reference to Daniel 7, 13 through 14. And that verse is, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All the nations and the people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Daniel 7, 13-14. So Jesus is giving whoever he's talking about when he says the Son of Man a very high title. He's saying that whoever has this title has the power and authority over all the nations of the world. So who is Jesus talking about when he says the Son of Man? Well, Jesus is actually talking about himself. Yep, Jesus gave himself this very high title. But that's not the only title I'd like to talk about today. The next title is the Lord's Suffering Servant. And this title comes from the passage in Isaiah 52, which is called the Lord's Suffering Servant. And in that section, which actually ends at the end of Isaiah 50, chapter 53, it talks all about who the suffering servant is. The suffering servant is this person who will be offered as a sacrifice for others. They'll be hated on, beaten on, and they will eventually be killed. And their purpose is to be offered as a living sacrifice so that others may be saved. That doesn't sound like a very nice title, though. It sounds like whoever has this title has a very lowly and hard title. It sounds like whoever has this title will be hated on and tortured and suffered, and that they'll actually eventually be killed. So who has this title? Well, that's Jesus. Yes, Jesus has these two titles. So how does he do that? How did he combine these two seemingly very different titles? You see, that was through his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, when Jesus was crucified on that cross, he paid a debt that we owed. So the Lord's Suffering Servant actually ends in Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53:12 says, "I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death." So because Jesus died on that cross and was offered as a living sacrifice for us, God gave him the victory of the victorious soldier, honor of victory of the victorious soldier, which that is a title and honor of the Son of Man, the honor being the authority over all the nations of the world. I just love what Philippians 2, 8 through 11 says, because it summarizes this perfectly. It says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to be the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow, that was a lot of information thrown at you guys. So what do we do with that information? How do we take what we just learned and apply it to our daily lives? Well, one way we can apply this message is by doing what the big idea is, which is to boldly declare who Christ is. One way we can do that is through prayer. You see, when we pray, God hears us. So when we are praying and we confess that He is the Lord, that He is our Messiah, that He is the Son of Man, the suffering servant, then we are giving Him the praise and honor that He rightfully deserves. But that's not the only way on how we can boldly declare who Christ is, though. Another way is by actually talking about who Jesus is to others. I know, that does sound very scary. I get that. I was scared. I mean, when I told you about the story, I ran and hid. I get it. Even the disciples understand. After Jesus ascended into heaven, they got so scared that they ran and hid and locked themselves into a room. But yet, later on in Acts, it shows that the same disciples that were timid and scared were going around the world and confessing who Jesus is and sharing the gospel to others. So how did they find that boldness? How did they find that courage to be able to do that? Well, it was by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit was the thing that gave them the boldness, the words, and the courage to go out and to confess that Jesus is the Messiah. And the great news for us is that the same Spirit that was found in the disciples is in each and every one of us, if we truly believe that He is who He says He is. So we can rest assured that when the time comes, that God will, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say, the power and boldness to go out to say it. Another way that we can actually take what we just learned is by doing what Jesus says. So Jesus says that we have to take up our cross daily. And I know I already talked about this, but I'd like to touch on it a little bit more. So Jesus calls us to take up our cross daily, and it means that we have to give all of who we are to Christ, which is all of our sins, all of our burdens, and all of our struggles. But yet, we are so much more than our past and our misgivings. You see, no, we are also our passions in life, our time, and even our gifts that God has given us. Jesus also calls us to deny ourselves. And what that means is that we are called to humble ourselves enough to allow God to work in us and through us and to use the gifts and abilities that God has given us for His glory. So, to wrap everything up, this idea of boldly declaring who Christ is, shown by Peter, sounds a lot easier than it actually is. You see, it requires us to humble ourselves and to let God to work in us and through us. But while the cost may sound high, the reward is far greater. The reward is that we get to spend eternity with God. That's all I have, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank You so much for just this day, this beautiful weather. Lord God, I pray for just, let us remember what You want us to hear with this sermon. Lord God, I pray that You'll just give us the words, the power, and the boldness to actually go out and to confess to others who You are. Lord, I pray that You'll just be with each and every one of us throughout this week. And Lord God, may we not forget what You have implanted in our hearts through the sermon. And Lord God, I just pray for any prayer requests that these amazing people may have. In Your name, amen.